Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Beth Ruck in this morning with Conquering Clutter. I mean, everybody probably has some amount of clutter. Even you as organized, you probably, like, that's my one drawer that, you know, is not organized, or, you know, it's
right.
But it feels shameful sometimes. I think some people are like, don't open that drawer, it's my junk drawer. You know, it feels like it's this bad thing, and you feel like you're on an island all alone sometimes.
That's definitely true. People, maybe they just never have been able to be organized. Those people might have ADD or ADHD, and so conventional ways of being organized do not work for them. So when I meet people for the first time or they contact me, I do a free, like, 20-minute consultation and kind of find out what's working for them, what's not working for them, how do they think. Like, some people need to see things, and other people need it behind closed doors.
Away from your...
Yep.
Yeah.
So
you're mentioning that there's three different categories of clutter, or ways that people deal with clutter. So tell me about those three categories.
So first, like, the most big one would be the hoarders, which a lot of people hear about. But though there's five levels of hoarding, and the worst is where you really can't even hardly live in the house, and, like, the toilets don't work and there's no place to walk. That's, like, the extreme. Mm-hmm. And then there's just a little bit of hoarding where there's certain places that maybe you can't use one room, or piles always on the kitchen table or something. And usually that's a result of some mental illness that's going on. It's been diagnosed that way. The second is people that are chronically disorganized. So that could be people with ADD or ADHD, or maybe they've had a traumatic brain injury. And I have helped some people that have ADD or ADHD, and I ask them different questions, and I've done classes and read books about how they work best. So sometimes you have to make it a game. Sometimes you have to set a timer. A lot of it is setting up zones in the house that make sense to the person. And then the third that most people fall into is called situationally disorganized, which means life happened and things got out of whack. They used to be organized, but either they moved, they got married, they got divorced, they had a kid, there's been a death in the family, so they're dealing with grief. There's been illness, and so they haven't been able to keep up. And those people are a little bit easier to work with, but sometimes those people are the ones that are like, I could figure this out for myself.
They're the least to come get help.
Yeah, until they go, I can't handle this anymore. Like, I need to get this fixed.
And I think that people forget that a clean, organized space, it bleeds over into so many other things, and just the way you feel. When I was going through divorce, I mean, I remember, you know, seeing a dirty cup on, you know, a couple dirty cups on the end table, and thinking, I just don't even have the energy to take care of this. You know, I was a single mom, two young kids, and my best friend came to my house, and she picked up, like, she organized everything, every room of the house she went through. And I mean, I still to this day, like, it kind of almost gets me choked up, because it was just, it felt such a weight off my chest of what was going on in my life. Like, it just felt better to come home and see a space that was not chaotic. I felt like everything else in my life was chaotic, and I finally had some place that was not.
Right. Definitely.
I'm sure you kind of go through situations like that. How do you get people to take that step of, like, okay, it's time, this is enough, and realize how much better life can be with an organized space?
So a lot of times I share, if I'm doing a talk, like, I do quite a few talks at the Cookeville Library, and I'll just say, I'm here to give you knowledge and share some stories. So when I share stories about people that I've helped, then they're like, oh, that sounds like me. I need to do something about it. And then in my newsletter or my blogs, I'll give little snippets for people to think about and pose questions like, well, do you find yourself in this situation? there is help for you. You don't need to feel ashamed about this. There's nothing wrong with asking for help.
If you relate to people and where they're at, they right. kind of think, oh, okay, that is me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I broke my arm, I'm going to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay if life's happened and things have gotten a little out of hand to ask for somebody like me to help them out.
Yeah.
And the good thing about working with me is I'm not emotionally attached to any of your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to judge you about what you have. I'm just there to help you.
Yeah.
And make it so your life is easier. You feel more at peace in your home. So it's a place you want to go to, not a place you're avoiding because of what it looks like.
Well, and I'm sure that people really go through that of, you know, okay, there's just so much shame attached to things and not wanting to take that step. But when you see, okay, you know, there are small steps. I think when you're in a place of clutter, it feels such a long journey mm-hmm. to a place of organization. And so it feels overwhelming. So it's like, well, might as well do nothing because it's too scary to do something.
Right. So a lot of times if people contact me, I'll be like, let's just meet for 2 hours and we're going to pick a small project.
Yeah.
We're not going to focus on the whole house. We're not, whatever. You know, let's focus on a couple drawers in your kitchen. Let's focus on one closet that's really bothering you. So I ask people, what's your pain point? What really would make you feel better if we dealt with that? And by the time we are done with our first session, they're like, oh, that looks so great. And you gave me a lot of great ideas about how to maintain the area. I feel like I can go and do work on a few small projects on my own. But a lot of times I have people say, if you didn't come every week or every other week, I would not take the time to do it. I know I need you to be there to help me get motivated
yeah.
and help me do it.
Well, and I think sometimes the space of organization has, you know, I think it was 2020, 2021, Marie Kondo was on the scene of, you know, does it feel good? Like, how does this object make you feel? And it's aesthetically pleasing to see. I mean, I've started folding my pants the way she folds her pants. I just like it. I think it's kind of fun. I like the way they line up in the drawer. But there's ways to be organized that aren't. And nothing else. I mean, my dresser has jewelry. Like, that's my thing. It's just I throw the jewelry in a candy chest and it's very unorganized. But I think the things that feel good to you, it's okay to do some and not all. It's
right.
not one, everything has to be immaculate.
Right.
Correct?
Yes. And so like for some people, like if they have ADD or ADHD and they're like, oh, I hate doing laundry or I hate putting it away. And I'll be like, you know, you don't have to fold your underwear. You don't have to match your socks.
Mm-hmm.
So just have, like if you have a big drawer, take a shoebox and that one shoebox is for your underwear and just throw it in there. It doesn't have to be folded. And with your socks, maybe only have one color of socks that you ever use or one style that goes with everything and just throw that in another box. You don't have to match it up and, you know, pair them
right,
together.
Yeah, if that's a pain point, you just need to work on the systems in your house to make it work for you. I think
right.
for me, I love folding towels. I know it sounds weird. I used to work at Bed Bath & Beyond. They were very pleasing when they were folded correctly. My best friend hates folding towels. So she just started putting them in a laundry basket and here were clean towels and here were dirty towels. And she just, you know, she stopped folding them because you don't have to do that. We'll be right back in a second. Good morning. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry and I have Beth Ruck from Conquering Clutter in this morning. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Tiffany. Glad to be here.
On Thanks. The tail end of spring cleaning, I feel like you have probably been working your tail off a bit.
Been very busy helping people out, definitely.
Is it how long have you been doing this Conquering Clutter business?
I just celebrated my 10th anniversary.
Wow, that's dedication. Do you have an immaculate home yourself?
It's not immaculate, but it's very organized. Like it's easy to tidy up if I know someone's coming over.
Yeah, which is nice. So in the 10 years, do you always see that spring is the time where people are like, oh gosh, okay, I gotta get rid of clutter. I gotta organize things. Do you always see an influx of stuff at that time?
Yes, spring and summer, people get motivated. And then a little bit towards the fall because they want their house to look nice for the holidays.
Yeah. Well, and I kind of personally with having little kids when they were littler, I would always try to see if I could go through a time like their toys and stuff when you're like, OK, we know Christmas is coming. We're going to get an influx of toys. We got to clear out this because I think you don't often sit and think, oh, OK, I can get rid of this. I haven't touched this in a long time. Why am I still holding on to this?
Yeah, definitely. Usually I encourage parents, like after school's gotten out, that's a really good time to go through school papers and artwork. And
oh my gosh, I'm thinking, I don't know, there might be a lunchbox. And school's been out for like 3 weeks and there might be a lunchbox with food. So, yeah, because you start the summertime. It's summer and so you forget about school time. And
right.
Yeah.
And I tell parents too, it's a good time to have your kids be involved in like going through any art projects they've been bringing home and help them to learn how to distinguish like what they really like and what they don't like so much, because that's a skill they're going to use their whole life. You just can't keep everything. Everything can't be special. So, you know, pick out your favorites.
What tips would you give to somebody who's listening right now that how do you determine what is special and what needs to be kept and what shouldn't be kept? My parents have brought me a box of, you know, report cards, and I was like, I don't think I want this. Like, what, you know, what, I'm going to take this out every 5 to 10 years and look at it once. Like, that seems a little crazy to keep around.
Right. So, I mean, definitely you need your high school transcripts, perhaps, you know, keep those in case you're going to apply to go to college or grad school. But as far as your report cards, and unless like there's this teacher you really loved and she wrote this really great comment about you, you know, maybe take a picture of it and keep it. But to keep, you know, all of your report cards isn't really necessary. And it meant something more probably to your parents than to you.
Probably.
And so if they gave it to you, it's like you can do what you want to with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think of that even with my parents themselves. It's like if there's maybe once they pass away, maybe it would be neat to look at a report card. But again, that's a one time thing. And it wouldn't. I think the one thing about kind of clutter is that it means something because you know about it. But sometimes I think, if I never saw this, my life would still be okay.
Right. Yep. I tell people when I help them out, I'm like, I am not making any decisions for you. It's totally up to you. If I'm curious about something, so to me, it's like, why do they have this? I've learned over the years to say, tell me about this item. Like, why do you have it? What makes it special? And I've heard some really awesome stories about things. And then I say, okay, let's think about why you have other things. So if you use it, you love it, or you need it, you know, like we need to keep our tax returns, then hold on to those things. But let go of things that don't enrich your life, don't serve you at the time you are at now. So,
well, and not even, I think one thing, do you have clothes in your service? Do you go through closets and
absolutely
stuff like that?
Yes.
One of the things with clothes is like, well, I have this really specific, you know, dress that I wore one time because it was a great buy for this. And what if I ever have to wear that again? And it's like, and what if you don't? You know, I think that at some point, you kind of have to go through that process of like, well, what am I, like you said, if I really love it, but what am I doing with this? You know, if I'm just carting it from house to house to house, if you move around, what good is that?
Right. So with clothes, I'll tell people, you know, does it still fit you? Does it complement, you know, is it a complementary color? I had a person that I was helping go through her closet, and she loved to go to JCPenney's and buy their sale items. So no lie, she had every color of this one kind of sweater because the JCPenney's in my town was going out of business. Well, not all those colors looked good on her. Mm-hmm. So then she would end up getting rid of half of them, but she'd spent all this money. So we talked about what clothes look good on you, what styles, what colors, you know, what looked good on you at 20 is not look good at you on 40 or 60. So I'll be like, you can talk to someone that can tell you what colors look good on you if you're not sure, you know, what complements your hair color and your facial or your skin tones.
Yeah.
So we'll talk through that. And then I'll be like, just because you paid $100 for this 3 years ago, if it doesn't fit you and you're never going to wear it again, I mean, that $100 is long gone.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, it's, you already spent that money. It doesn't matter whether you get rid of that dress or not. You're not, there's not a value to it that you don't get the $100 back.
No. And I also tell people that are really like to shop, I'll give them some guidelines. I'll be like, I know that you like to shop. You know, it's part of your therapy. It makes you feel good. But here's some questions to ask yourself before you make the purchase. Like, if I buy this, where am I putting it? Can I really afford it? Mm-hmm. Will I still want it in a week or in 30 days? You know, like if I don't have to decide now, I could always get it later in, yeah, at, on Amazon or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't go into debt to buy things. Mm-hmm. So
take us back to the beginning, 10 years ago. What got you started into this, into your own personal business, and why this?
Okay. So I'd always been a pretty organized person. My mom was very organized. And just growing up, I had a tidy room. I liked to do it. But I actually went to school to be an accountant, which, you know, taking numbers, being organized is another thing.
Yeah.
But I worked different jobs. And sometimes it was as a bookkeeper. Sometimes it was in a store. And this is before I even knew that professional organizing was a business. And I'd be like, hey, do you mind if, you know, I've got downtime. Is it okay if I clean out this storage closet for you? We have all this, you know, stuff that we're not doing with. And then I'd find places to take it to. And then my sister had bought at an auction 2 hours of a closet clean out. And I was like, oh, that's a job? Like, I could do that? I could get paid for that? So yeah. I took a bunch of classes. I talked to other organizers around the country. I initially joined the National Association of Professional Organizers that I was in for about 7 of the 10 years I've been in business. I've also joined Faithful Organizers, which is a group of Christian organizers. Hmm. And I just found that it gave me joy to help other people deal with overwhelm in their life. I wanted them to have a life that they enjoyed better, and I didn't want there to be shame involved in it, like their kids coming and go, why are you keeping this? I can't believe you still have this. And not understanding, like, there's an emotion attached to it, or maybe their parent had gone through a traumatic situation, like a fire as a kid and their house burnt down, or they grew up really poor, so they worked really hard to get things. And, you know, their kids didn't have the same values.
So there's a lot of psychology, it sounds like, attached to organizing, conquering the clutter of people's homes. Is that part of the training that you went through with some of the organizations or some of the training that you've been a part of?
Yes. So they offered various classes on that, plus I do a lot of reading by other organizers that have been in the business for, you know, 30 years or more,
yeah,
that offer suggestions. But that's one thing I didn't realize when I first started out, was how much you're kind of a coach and a counselor, even though you don't have those certifications. That's why, like, for me, if I can pair up with a counselor, that could be helpful to people. I do not help true hoarders, though, because that's a little bit out of my wheelhouse, because that's actually a mental illness and you need a whole group of people, you know, working on there. But I've had people go, oh, my parent's a hoarder. I'm like, tell me about the situation.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, they're not a hoarder.
Yeah.
They just,
that's become, I think the TV show made that such a mainstream term that, you know, yes, okay. I mean, and I like stuff. I have a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm,
but I do like throwing stuff away too. you know, I think it's just that mental place of like, okay, it's just time to clean it up and get rid of it and just be done with it, because, you know, I keep it. Oh, I could use this again. What could I do? You know, but I do think, you know, you can walk through my house. You can, you know, there's right. not, you know, I think there's a difference when you see the show and you're like, oh, these people can't even walk through their houses. You know, like you said, that's a whole different level of things.
Yep.
So have you seen some great results of people that you've worked with over time in that mental space?
Yeah, absolutely. So one lady that I worked with for almost 3 years until she passed away, she was a little depressed because her husband had died a couple years before, and she just had a hard time going through things. So when we first started, she was like, oh, okay, you know, I guess I'll work with you. But then it got to the point where she would go, hey, I don't need this anymore. She would start giving me things without me even asking.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think that is, it's going through your stuff is kind of part of the grief process. And you go through denial of, do I need to get rid of this? And it's probably all the steps of denial of, or all the steps of grief going through, you know, cleaning up your clutter.
Definitely.
We'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I have Beth Ruck in this morning from Conquering Clutter, and she just gave you permission to not fold your underwear. So if you're just joining us, I think you're giving people permission to do whatever feels good in your home.
Absolutely.
It's not, you know, your mom's rules anymore. It's your rules.
Right. And like, for instance, with the underwear and stuff, it's like, you know, like who goes and to your house and starts checking your drawers out? Nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
So it doesn't matter what that looks like. And I tell people the less you have, the easier it is to be organized. Mm-hmm. So if you have one thing, though, that you really love, like we have tons of books at our home because we love books, but I have them in the place that's most accessible for everybody and it works for me. But other things, like I've been getting rid of like knickknacks because I've only kept the things I really love and just enjoy those and have those out. And then a lot of people say, you know, what good is something if it's shoved in the box in the back of the closet? If you're not going to use it and love it and enjoy it, then why hold on to it? Pass it on to someone else who will love that item and give it a new life.
It's so interesting. I have a couple, like, you know, polo shirts from things that I had done that have logos on them. And I'm like, that meant something at that time. But why? And I mean, I probably have moved 3 or 4 times since then. And I'm moving these shirts that are literally at the back corner of my closet. Why am I taking these with me? It's not like I love that shirt so much. It's a memory. But like you said, take a picture of it and look at the picture later.
Yep.
So. Yeah. So what kind of services, you know, specifically do you know, you mentioned that you will work, you know, weekly with people. You'll come in and do one big project of a certain room. What can people expect of your services when they're working with you?
Okay. So when I work with people, I want them to be there because they need to make the decisions about where things go, what they want to keep, don't keep. And I love helping people that have kind of a lifetime accumulation of things and say, let's keep what you need at this part of your life. You know, your kids are grown. If you're hanging on to their stuff, you know, do you really need it? And if they live close by or they're coming to visit, be like, hey, this is your stuff. I've taken what I wanted to, like, remember this moment. The rest is for you to decide. Because if you don't take it, then I'm going to throw it away or I'm going to find somebody else that could maybe use some of it. Because it's just bogging you down, and eventually someone has to clean it up. So,
and now on the flip side of that, if you're one of those 20 something, maybe 30 something year old quote unquote kids that's getting your stuff from your parents, you in turn don't have to keep that as
right.
You know, I think so often we get this box from our parents and it's like, okay, where do we put this? How do we do that? You know?
Yeah. So, you know, if someone passes you something back, you don't have to keep it.
Yeah.
They've given it to you. And if they ask you, well, where's this? I'd be like, well, I didn't need it anymore. Yeah. And it wasn't important to me.
Yeah.
because you didn't want it and I didn't want it. Yeah. So I gave it to someone else.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's good. So you can kind of help them go through and make those choices, ask them the questions. How long does a typical project, or how long do people typically work with you for?
So I've had some people that work with me maybe 6 or 8 months because they want to go through the whole house. A lot of times, if it's a little longer, it's because they just had a lot of stuff. And I was helping a lady recently who had moved in with her mom. Her mom went to a nursing home, but she's still living in the house and now has to go through all of her mom's stuff because the mom is never coming back to the house. And there was, 40 years of stuff in there. And it was overwhelming to her. So we took longer, and sometimes with clients, we'll go through like a closet and we'll be like, okay, that's good for now. And then we move on to another part of the house. And then we come back and go through the closet for a second time because they're like, oh yeah, I need to get rid of more stuff that's in this closet.
Well, I think when you start the process, it's probably the most emotionally draining at the start of a process of decluttering. And after you kind of get the hang of it and you feel less emotionally attached to all the stuff, it's easier to get rid of stuff, I would think, after that.
Yeah, generally, I would agree with that. But then there's other people, they just have a, one-time project. Like, I really need to get a handle on this dining room, my craft room, this closet. Can you come in for 2 or 3 or 4 hours and help me get through it and, give me some ideas about how to move forward?
Do you work with, like, kids stuff? Because I think that's probably another place that people find themselves acquiring clutter is with kids' toys or kids' clothes or, just general kids outgrow things very quickly, whether it is clothes or toys.
Right.
And so that's an easy way where you suddenly look around and you're like, how do I have all this stuff?
Right. So I have worked with families. If the kids are old enough, I want to get them a little bit involved in the process because some of it's their stuff. So yeah. I'll be like, let's have Joe come in and let's just look at all of his, games or whatever it is that he has a lot of and help, ask him questions to decide what he wants to keep.
I have taken things and hid them in the attic to see if they even, where it's like, okay, they think they're emotionally attached to this.
Right.
And so I don't want to get rid of it in case they actually do feel something about this. I'll just hide it in the attic for a little bit. And then once I realize, okay, they don't care. They don't know.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah. I've done that too. Like with littler kids too, it'll be like, all right, I've never seen them play with this. Yeah. They never talk about it, put it in a box for 6 months or something.
Yeah.
And if they never ask for it, then get rid of it. But sometimes they're attached to things that you're like, why are they attached to this? But you should just honor that for the time
I have being. Seen the strategy too of taking, like in your closet, taking your hangers and turning them backwards for, at the beginning of the year. And if 6 months in, hangers are still backwards, you realize you've never worn that shirt in the last 6 months.
Right.
Okay. Then you really start thinking, okay, is this something that I really, because I think there's clothes that you have hanging in your closet and you're like, I kind of forgot I even had this.
Right. Definitely.
Yep. And that's, how often do you think people should kind of take stock of their stuff to see if it still serves them well?
I'd say minimum once a year. A better rule would be twice a year, kind of the season changes. So when you're going through and you're like putting away, winter things, like kind of assess it and go, I didn't wear this at all. I'm probably not going to wear it. I'm going to set it aside and donate it when it's next fall.
Yeah.
And then when you're bringing out your summer, spring clothes, look through them again and go, I'm really sick of this shirt, or this has a hole in it, or things like that, or it doesn't fit me anymore. Letting go of things like that. I know I've pared down my closet over time, because when I first started working, I wore all these fancy clothes, and now I don't wear dresses very often. I don't dress up as much, so I'm like, why would I keep all of these?
Yeah. So. Well, and I have put clothes aside for a season. And then thought, I really like that. And I pulled it back out of something that I was ready to donate. But I think that's still okay. It's like, okay, well, I do feel some, I do want to wear that, and I'm glad I kept it. And I can still get rid of it again in the future if I want
right.
to. Nobody, you make your own rules.
Yep. So another thing I really like to help people with is paperwork, which some people are like, yuck, you know, paperwork. And even though we're supposed to be in a paperless society, we are not. We are inundated with paper. So because of my business background, I keep up on what you need to keep and don't need to keep. And I know several different filing ways for people to keep track of things. I don't mind sitting down with people and going, okay, let's look at your paperwork. Let's make some decisions about like when things come in, what either you're going to throw it in the trash, you're going to have to do an action with it, like make a phone call, pay a bill, or you really think you need to file it.
Yeah.
Those three things. So coming up with a system of it so that it doesn't become overwhelming. You just, every time mail or paper comes in, you figure out what you're going to do with it right then. So.
Yeah. Well, how can people contact you if they're looking for your services or they want to know more about conquering clutter? How do they contact you?
Okay, great. So I have a website, conqueringclutter.net. And I'm also on Facebook under Conquering Clutter. And I am on LinkedIn under my name. And
Beth Ruck.
And I'm also on Instagram under Conquering Clutter. And I'm, even though my phone number is a 937 number, which is Ohio, where I lived at one time, I am based out of Cookeville. And
I feel like cell phone numbers don't matter anymore. Mine's a 248. Mine's a Michigan number. And I do, people sometimes won't answer it. But I think at this point, we're just a melting pot and people move around. And
that's true.
Cell phones shouldn't matter. But yep. So conqueringclutter.net, people can check out your website. And is that how the process would go? They'd get a quote from you, or you said you do a consultation with them?
Yeah. So on my website, there's a plan your project button that you can select, and then you just put in your name and your phone number, email address, what kind of your budget is, what you are services you're looking for. Then I will contact you usually with a phone call to set up a time for us to talk about your project.
And how far outside of the region do you travel? Are you just in Cookeville, or are you in the...
I will go like a 50-mile radius okay. out of Cookeville. I'm not going to go to Nashville. I'm not going to Knoxville.
Yeah.
But the
Upper Cumberland region of, yes. You know, I'm sure that there are some places where people have lived in their homes for very, very long times. In some of the more rural places, I feel like this is a place where people settle and stay. And so if you are in that situation where you have, you know, family that you're trying to go through a family member's house, you're great resource for people to be able to help them out.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today. Check out Conquering Clutter on Facebook and Instagram, conqueringclutter.net. Thank you so much.